He changes everything. Ticket sales, jersey sales, TV ratings, the perception of the organization. Now, can Zion change the mind of the team's best player? Wow. We're going to talk Pelicans and a little bit more today, Wednesday, May 15th, 2019.
And that's driven pretty deep to center field. Going back on it, Jones still going back, looking up, and that ball is gone. A three-run home run for Carlos Correa to straightaway center field. And the Astros lead it 3-0.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. drives his second ball into the night. That ball is gone! Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with his second Major League homer on the same night.
Step off a screen, takes a three straight on, knocked out another one, his eighth three of the night. And the Warriors back up by 13. It's 73-60. Curry's got 31.
Baby, happy Wednesday. Yes, I'm smiling from ear to ear. Wow. Can a transcendent Duke star do for the Pelicans what Drew Brees has done for the New Orleans Saints? Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. Yours truly, Jordy Helper here, Studio 1A, my main man CD back in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of KLWB, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Going into the lottery last night, everybody knows the New Orleans Pelicans had a 6% chance of getting the number one pick. David Griffin, before it all started, had a great feeling. In fact, he said this to all the Pelican fans about what would happen later on that evening.
Hey, Pelicans fans, this is David Griffin. We are here in Chicago at the NBA Draft Lottery. We tweeted this out yesterday. Your hashtags to use are hashtag lottery love, hashtag bird strikes. And we are here today with Connie Halfens, Lucky Angel, a 56-year-old wooden angel. We won in Cleveland in 2014 when I had my grandmother's angel on my shoulder. Connie, this is our angel on our shoulder tonight. We've got this. It's already a done deal.
Already a done deal. And then the done deal came to fruition when we heard this.
The fourth pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. The third pick goes to the New York Knicks. The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh. And that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Holy cow. Holy cow. The sales staff jumped up in euphoria. Commissions, overnight, they sold over 2,500 new season ticket packages. Zion changes everything. The Duke star, the left-handed phenom, all 6'7", 6'8", 280 pounds, whatever he may be, he is a transcendent basketball player who could transform basketball in New Orleans, and the Pelicans have to do everything they can to surround him. He changes ticket sales, jersey sales, TV ratings, and the perception of the Pelicans organization. Can he change the mind of its best player, Anthony Davis? Here's David Griffin the vice president of basketball operations, cut number three on if this affects the AD situation.
So much is made of that as though there's causation involved in this.
Of course, yeah.
Look, if I'm Anthony Davis and I wanted to win my whole career and I had lost confidence in the ability to do that, I would feel the way Anthony felt. So our job is to give him confidence that we can do this the right way. His job is to want to be all in and be part of it in the way that makes the most sense for us to build a sustainable winning team. Jrue Holiday is bought in right from Jump Street. He is all about it. And so that puts us in the right space.
They're going to have a talk later on this month. Alvin Gentry, man, he got up. He was high-fiving everybody, and he talked about the last time he was this excited.
Probably when we won the championship at Golden State, you know. And this is really close.
Wow.
This is really close.
It's really, really close because, as Alvin Gentry said later on, cut number three, we're getting a generational type of a player.
Yeah, you know, obviously we can't talk about picks right now, but we're going to get a really good player. You know, probably a guy that's going to be a generational player.
Yes.
So we're excited about that.
Doesn't mean he can't talk to other people about certain players. Grant Hill, a former Dukie himself, well-entrenched in the NBA. Here's what Grant Hill told him about the left-handed Duke phenom.
The one thing that he said about him is that the thing he loves best about Zion is that he's all about the team. You know, he won't do individual interviews, very few individual interviews that doesn't involve the team. Great team guy. So obviously that would be a guy that you would want to add to your roster if you possibly could.
David Griffin, again, baby steps, right? He gets hired. He makes the hire of his he gets the Phoenix trainer to head his medical staff and his training staff. And David Griffin, cut number two. Yeah, here we are, just part of the progression.
It's crazy to me to think about as I went into the room to meet with Mrs. Benson and her ownership team for the first time. I was in the room literally 15 minutes, less than 30 for sure. And I knew unequivocally I wanted to be there. Her presence is so wholly unique, and the energy of New Orleans is so wholly unique that there's a reason that you can create something there. It was meaningful to me. There's a there in New Orleans. And now we're just closer maybe to where we thought we could potentially go, faster maybe,
yes.
But it's still the same thought process. This is one huge win, but we have to continue to just stack several small wins upon each other.
Remember what he did in Cleveland. He had LeBron James. He had Kyrie Irving. He brought in Kevin Love. And he surrounded them with some role players. And they came from a 3-1 deficit against Golden State and won an NBA championship. He knows what he's doing. Now the question is, what happens with Anthony Davis? You'll hear two sides of the coin. Some will say, oh, my goodness, he may want to hang around and be a mentor. He and Jrue Holiday and bring Zion Williams, that's quite a triumvirate. Or maybe he says, you know what, I just don't. And many people will say, dude, you burn your bridges. Can you mend a burnt bridge? Maybe it's too late. But now, because the Pelicans have the number one pick, it's so obvious, now they hold all the cards. They don't have to make a trade to New York to get the pick of Zion. They don't have to make a trade with the Lakers if they got the number one pick. Now they've got it. Now, do you want the number three pick of the Knicks and some other prospects? Do you want the number four pick of the Lakers with your pick of the litter of the best of that crew? You control, or do you do something with Boston still? You control everything. You can sit tight and do nothing and keep them on your team and play them and see what happens. Lots of things going on and a lot of decisions to be made, but there's a lot of talking that will be going on between now and when the draft comes up. But you got to believe what a fabulous, fabulous time for the New Orleans Pelicans. Is Davis intrigued by the thought of teaming with Williamson and Jrue Holiday? Is he motivated by more than simply winning, because that Big Easy 3 would be some pretty good stuff against their Western Division rivals. It really would. Zion is a transcendent talent. We've seen him. The things that he could do, a game changer on the court and a franchise definer off of it. He'll be one of the biggest draws in the NBA the minute he joins the league. The only comparable player with the star power to enter the NBA in the past two decades is LeBron James. You see this kid smile? I mean, LeBron James, the cover of Sports Illustrated at 17. Zion has about 3.2 million followers on Instagram at the age of 18. He arrived at Duke with great expectations, and you know what he did? He exceeded them. He's the only freshman to ever win ACC Player of the Year and ACC Tournament MVP. And he's in pretty good company. The third freshman to record 500 points, 50 steals, and 50 block shots in a season. The other two, Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant. Look, Williamson is more. New Orleans needs personality. That's laissez le bon temps rouler. Let the good times roll. And Williamson brings that personality, that likable nature, and that smile from ear to ear. He's humble. He's selfless. He's got that Reggie Bush sizzle and the Deuce McAllister steak. He's really good. He's really, really good. The Zion effect is real. I think the last and only time the city of New Orleans buzzed this way about basketball, you got to go back a long time, 1974, when Pistol Pete came to town. After the Minneapolis Miracle, the NOLA no-call, and the Davis debacle, if there ever was a sports fandom that deserved a little luck, it's the great fans of New Orleans. They've suffered enough. Ping pong balls and basketballs, and it came up smelling like a rose. Zion Williamson, the perfect player at the perfect time to resurrect New Orleans Pelicans basketball. Wow, the possibilities are immense. We'll take our first time out. Enough of me. We got a lot of basketball talk. Scott Kushner of The Advocate covers them every day. Will join us. Andrew Lopez will join us as well in this hour. We're Pelicans heavy. Holy cow, Zion coming to town. The crew of Zion. Yes, indeed. Whew. We'll be back here on 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Loving it.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
The world of possibilities awaits as the New Orleans Pelicans did the unthinkable, the unimaginable, and they win the NBA draft lottery. Scott Kushner is a terrific writer for The Advocate. He covers the Pelicans. He's an NBA columnist, and he joins us now. Man, what did that do to your world last night, big guy?
It certainly upended my entire night. I was behind a keyboard and pounding away, trying to beat deadline on one of the most newsworthy days in the history of the franchise.
It's remarkable. Is there anything you can compare this to? I mean, if there ever was a fandom that deserved some good news, the Minneapolis Miracle, the NOLA no-call, the what happened with Anthony Davis demanding the trade, Chris Paul leaving – I mean, my goodness, great. What does this do for this organization in your mind?
It makes them relevant. And just a few months after, they basically became a punching bag, both nationally and locally, they very clearly failed for years. And they've decided to go ahead and make the changes that they felt were necessary, and that probably were necessary, to fire Dell Demps and bring on David Griffin, reinvest in the facility, reinvest in a new trainer, and really kind of put a commitment toward a franchise that they frankly, hadn't committed to properly. And as defensive as they've been for several years in the Benson organization, they really, without admitting it, admitted a lot of mistakes. And what they've gotten now is the lease on life in one fell swoop, because it could have taken a really long time, even if you get that infrastructure stuff right, and even if you get all those other things right, it doesn't guarantee you success. It just guarantees that you're a functioning organization that gives you a chance. This is the chance, and this is the exact moment that they probably were waiting for, and it happened to come 2 months into David Griffin's tenure.
Scott Kushner of The Advocate joining us. There's that old cliche, patience is a virtue, and I guess the disdain that the Pelicans had for the arrogance of the Los Angeles Lakers and the deals they were trying to put on the table for the Pelicans. Now, all of a sudden, the roles have reversed, and the Pelicans really hold all the cards, don't they?
Yeah. The idea was that they were going to, whoever got the number one, they were hoping that whoever got the number one pick was going to be a team that wanted Anthony Davis, and they then trade at basically Anthony Davis for Zion Williamson and maybe a handful of, you know, smaller pieces. And now all of a sudden, you don't need to do that. There is nothing that you have to do as far as you know, moving in this draft. You're going to get the piece. And frankly, he's the most hyped, at least, person to come out of college. I mean, I can't remember. Shaq? I mean, who's the last person to come out of college that was this hyped?
I mean, Anthony Davis might be the one. Yeah.
Anthony Davis was a big deal. Carmelo Anthony was a big deal.
Not like this, though.
No. And this is, it's been crazy since he got to Duke. And it was, it's unbelievable to think that the most coveted guy, he's the most coveted player, period, LeBron James. And then he's coming to New Orleans.
I was at a graduation dinner party last night, and I had my phone on. I had no concept, no thought. And I saw it, and I looked around the room, and everybody, about 80% of the dads, all you saw was their mouth open, and they went, what? Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine your phone blew up in the Crescent City. I mean, it's not below sea level anymore, right? I mean, it gets raised up.
It was unbelievable. I had friends who were at dinner on Magazine Street. They said people ran out into the street, that everybody just, like, just because it was so unexpected. It wasn't like watching a game where you're, like, waiting for it to come down to the end. It was sort of like this, you know, I compared it today on Twitter. The only thing I can ever remember being like that was if you were in the city when Reggie Bush, when it became obvious the Texans were not going to draft Reggie Bush, and that Reggie Bush was going to go to the Saints, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, my God, they're going to get Reggie Bush. And at the time, he was the biggest college player in years, you know, to come out. And I think you can kind of compare the reaction the same way, which is, you know, this, it looked like this was going to take a really long time to rebuild. It looked like this was – I mean, people were writing the eulogy for NBA basketball in New Orleans 3 months ago. I mean, this isn't a long process that you're talking about. And now all of a sudden you've got, you know, the hottest commodity – in the league, and it's absolutely unbelievable to go from a doormat to being the envy of so many teams in 1 minute.
1 minute. You're absolutely right. Scott Kushner, kind enough to join us, The Advocate, at Scott Kushner. I am amazed at the idiocracy of some national media members who continue to blast the city of New Orleans and saying how, you know, oh, this is the worst thing that could happen to the league. I think it's the best thing that can happen to the league. Small markets. We're seeing what's happening in Milwaukee. We saw what happened. You know, if your play on the court is good enough, the advertisers will find you, and you will make your mark, and you will make your money. I just don't understand the arrogance of some of these people that continue to dump all over New Orleans. It's amazing.
I mean, I understand that they host national television shows where the audience, the New York is 10 times bigger than New Orleans, so is Los Angeles. Like, it makes sense to play to your audience. I get it from that regard. Yeah. Will it actually affect the league? I think we've moved past a point where the name on the front of your jersey really matters that much anymore. I really
exactly.
I think you've seen it with Giannis. You've seen it with Russell Westbrook. You've seen it with so many guys now that freaking LeBron, he never played in a super high-end
right.
market. It was, until he went to Los Angeles and did nothing. But it's not – that doesn't matter to the league. It really doesn't. The fact is they need Zion Williamson to be good and be on a good team. And I understand that fear, that if those who support the NBA saying we cannot send this guy to a non-functioning franchise. And you know what? For Anthony Davis, they were right, because Anthony Davis more than likely would have been a whole heck of a lot better off on 20 of the other 30 teams in the NBA. So I get that fear. But this is not the same franchise right now. It just isn't.
Exactly.
They've made a bunch of changes. Now, I get why people don't realize that. I mean, Max Kellerman was going on talking about how the sharing medical staff and all that stuff. Like they literally just hired a month ago the best trainer in the entire NBA.
Right.
So a lot of things are different. They are certainly trying more this time than last time to make this work. As compared to, I think they understand the opportunity they squandered with Anthony Davis, and that's an opportunity that you don't ever think will come along again. And sure enough, here it is.
He's going to be a perfect fit. The city loves enthusiasm. They love personality types. They love great players. And it seems to me Zion has the potential to be a great NBA player, and he checks all the other boxes. It seems to be a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a it would have been perfect for anyone. Quite frankly, I mean, there's not a single team in the league that would have not, fallen
exactly.
head over heels to get it. But considering
exactly.
what this team has been through the last few months and the way that they were, dismantled so quickly, it does mean a little bit more right now. Now, if it were to go to a team that is a longtime doormat, like the Knicks or something like that, that would have been cool too. But the rapidity of this turnaround is really remarkable, and just how fast all of this occurred, and I did not see it coming at all.
What a night. I know you're busy. Check your text message in just a minute. I'm sending you something as a favor, but thank you for your time, my friend. Always enjoy talking with you.
All right, sounds good, Jordy. Talk to you later.
All right, buddy, take care. Scott Kushner will continue the conversation of this. Now the question is, what does this do for Anthony Davis? Is there the possibility that you can rebuild a burnt bridge? We'll talk to Andrew Lopez about that next.
Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show. Live and local. 103.7 The Game.
Well, I've seen it in both of them, I think. And, the thing that I have to remind everyone is that, a guy like Anthony Davis just turned 25 years old. So he's still in the learning process of from a leadership standpoint and all of that. Jrue Holiday leads by example more so than anything. I'm sure I'm a little biased, but I think he's as good a two-way player as there is in the league. And there are some great two-way players in this league when you think about, Kawhi and what he just did the other night. But Jrue Holiday, night in and night out, does it for you. So I think we got some really good pieces, and we just got to put together a few more pieces. And then, as we said, when we win, we want to be in a sustainable situation, and I think we'll do that.
That's head coach Alvin Gentry talking about the mentorship possibilities for the possibility of number one pick coming up in Zion Williamson. Andrew Lopez follows the Pelicans, and he's kind enough to join us as we continue talking about the impact of last night on not only a franchise, but a city. And Andrew, your thoughts on the lottery winning Pelicans. Good afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon from a nice sunny Chicago where it's like 68 degrees right now. I didn't think I'd see these temperatures until November. when I was back home, but it's still kind of a weird thing out here. It still almost hasn't really hit me. I woke up this morning kind of guessing this still might be a dream. It didn't feel real. I think for for a lot of Pelicans fans at first. You thought you were going in with a 6% chance. I mean, Will Giller and I were talking last night. We were like, oh, man, the Pels might be in a good spot if they get number two or if they get number four, and then they can maybe make some deals to kind of do it. I mean, nobody really thought this was coming, even if, as it was coming up. You know, you see the Lakers envelope, I mean, come out, and then you see the Knicks, and you're like, oh, this is a thing. Like, this could happen. And it was just crazy. My initial reaction, honestly, would be kind of what Alvin Gentry said last night, but I don't want to go ahead and get you fined by anybody for saying those words.
Yeah. He beeping, yeah. Beeping, yeah. Yes, I understand. Okay. There are some people out there saying Zion Williamson hasn't hired an agent. He can put his name, he can go back to Duke. They're so poo-pooing on the city of New Orleans and the franchise of the Pelicans. It amazes me.
Yeah, I think that's what happens when you don't know what's happened in the last 4 months. You don't, ever since January, I think everything has changed. Everything is different. You know, if this was this was 2 years ago, it was Dell, and it was Tom Benson, and Mickey was making decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would have an argument to maybe say that New Orleans was not a place you would really want to be. But now, I just think everything's different. I mean, he's in this. He's not going through this portion of it to pull his name out because he hasn't signed an agent. Him not signing an agent, all that tells me is there's a bidding war for for his services on that side. Who's going to get him the best shoe deal? You probably have agents working to get him the better deals, and then all of that is beyond what the Pelicans can control and what the Pelicans are doing. He is going to be New Orleans Pelican, and I don't think we can stress that enough. Even if he says I don't want to go there, they're going to take him and they're going to make him come here. Like, there's nothing really that is different about this that's going to make me change my mind.
We have another soundbite I want to play. This is David Griffin in addressing the media in Chicago last night after the New Orleans Pelicans won the lottery, cut number five. He talked about what he wants to talk to Zion about to maybe alleviate any misconceptions.
Tell us about how we give you the best opportunity to succeed. Where does it fit for you? Where do you see yourself going as a player? How do we realize all of your hopes and dreams? And what are those hopes and dreams? From everything I understand about Zion, similarly to some of the other players in this draft, there's a very strong we orientation there. There's a very strong team first orientation. And you need to know those things because our organization is going to be about building a family that loves each other enough to tell each other what they need to hear. They're not going to be for everybody. If you're coming into this having individual goals that are bigger than our goals, then you're not our guy. So I'm hopeful that, you know, we're in the right space.
There you go. And by all reports, that's exactly what Zion Williamson is all about.
Yeah, and I can't stress the family thing enough that Griff is trying to build. It's what, you know, he learned from Colangelo in Phoenix. And, you know, when Phoenix had their regime change, it was like 2011, I think it was right when Steve Kerr left and when a lot of these guys left. A lot of that was because, and a lot of that changed because they didn't have that family atmosphere anymore. That's what he's creating. You look at what he's done so far. This man is still they're not getting rid of anybody, which is insane. Mm-hmm. Like everybody has pretty much stayed. If they want to stay, they can stay. And he is building an atmosphere top to bottom. It is not just a player situation. It's from Gail Benson on down to the ball boy. He is trying to build a family, a true family in New Orleans, and I think that's going to appeal to Zion Williamson.
Andrew Lopez, kind enough to join us. Is this something where you can rebuild, burn bridges? What does this do with Anthony Davis in your mind?
I'll say this, he is still. No matter how you want to look at it, he is still, I believe, a top five player in the NBA. You know,
and he's still a member of the team. He's still got 1 year on a contract.
I think that's Alvin Gentry's favorite line right now is, gosh, he's still on the team. I think we've heard that five, six, eight times in the last 2 months. He's still on the team, guys. Guys, he's still on our roster. So we get it, but there's a lot going on. And if Anthony Davis wants to come back, they will welcome him with open arms. I know there are some fans who are, oh, forget him. We're done with him. He wants to leave.
Heck,
you got to understand what he was going through. Yeah.
Yeah.
If he wants to come back, I guarantee you, the first time him and Zion hook up on an alley-oop, all's going to be forgiven.
I'm with you. If he does not want to go, just the fact that the Pelicans got the number one pick, they don't have to make a trade for Anthony Davis to get that number one pick overall. So now it appears to me that patience, the virtue that it is, has certainly paid off dramatically for New Orleans, and they seem to hold all the cards as to what they really, truly believe they need to get for value for Anthony Davis.
I think right now, when you look at Anthony Davis and you look at what you can get for him, there's a little bit of relief because you have Zion. Now you don't necessarily have to hit a grand slam with this trade to continue the franchise being successful. You hit a double. You don't have to hit a home run right now. You can just make sure you get the trade right and make sure you get pieces back that fit. You don't necessarily need the name anymore to come back in the trade. You just have to get the best value because you got the name. You got the superstar. Okay, you have the guy who's going to replace him. Now it's a matter of getting the best assets in return for AD to put the best team around Zion so this doesn't happen again in the future, which I don't think it will because of who's in charge now.
Oh, does this take Boston out of the equation? I mean, they thought they were going to have a high pick. They're down at number 14. Or does this make Boston even hungrier to get Anthony Davis?
I think this is going to make Boston put more on the table. Right now, you have the Knicks who can put the number 3 pick on the table, which could end up being either Ja Morant, a phenomenal point guard, or, let's face it, R.J. Barrett, who is a good friend of Zion's and a teammate of his at Duke. They have Kevin Knox. They have Mitchell Robinson. They have a lot to take into. Let's take it back and let's look again. You have the Lakers at number 4. They can put Brandon Ingram on the table, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma. It's the same package, but now the number 4 pick in the draft as well. Then you still have Boston. I think Boston's in a spot where I'm not saying they have to put Jason Tatum on the table, but you want to beat the number 3 and number 4 picks, and you want to beat anything else on the table, Jason Tatum still probably does that for you.
Man, interesting stuff, right? All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
What does this do? I mean, it makes this franchise relevant. I mean, Zion sells tickets. He is the most transcendent player. He's got that buzz about him that only LeBron brought when he came into the league out of high school. I've never seen another player quite like him.
Yeah, it's interesting. He is the most hyped guy since LeBron, and that includes Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was phenomenal coming out, but the guy who maybe beat all of his PER predictions is Zion Williamson. So he is a phenomenal talent who set all sorts of different new marks and records. His efficiency is beyond belief. Once he came back from the shoe incident, his three-point shooting got better. That's something you still have to work on, but this is a guy who is just – by all means, a phenomenal type talent.
What kind of percentage do you give now? I mean, I said 0%. Anthony Davis is gone. That's it. Do you give it any credence that he might even be thinking, you know what? This might be good.
A little, but this it's all going to go down to what Griff wants to do. Griff is going to do his job. He's going to do his best. But I think his mind may already be made up in this situation.
Interesting. So he's not going to do what Josh Katzenstein said to do, trade Anthony Davis for Rudy Gobert and the Utah Jazz. Let's get our name back. You don't think he's going to do that? How about that?
You know what? I will. That might be my favorite deal of all right now.
Yes.
As much as I love the Pelicans name, if I'm taking, if that's on the table, maybe I go ahead and do that.
Who's a better fit? Who would you rather have? Would you rather have a Ja Morant to team up with Jrue Holiday and bring Elfrid Payton off the bench? Or would you rather have an R.J. Barrett as your small forward and put Zion as your power forward? What do you think would be the better fit for this club?
For me, I think I want – me personally, I think I'd want Ja. I want R.J. Barrett. I think R.J., you've long had a need on the wing.
Yeah.
That solves that. Ja is a good piece. Don't get me wrong. I have questions about his shooting. Mm-hmm. I have more questions about his defense, but offensively, he's phenomenal. There's no doubt about that. So it's still one of the, to me, I think it's, they're in that next tier, and I think those two are maybe alone in that next tier. And then after the top three guys, it's a really good tier. But I think those are both solid picks.
You weren't around, but the best buzz I ever heard from basketball in the city of New Orleans was back in 1974 when Pistol Pete came from the Hawks to the New Orleans Jazz. That was an amazing time. Chris Paul, okay, a little bit, but nothing like this kid. Man, he makes them relevant. They're going to be on national television a lot just because of him.
Yeah. Gentry was joking the other day, a lot of those 11:30 and 10 o'clock games, they're gonna get moved to 7 o'clock games now. Especially, he was talking about Summer League, but I think that it goes to say that that's going to happen for a lot of night games too. You're gonna have a lot more TNT and ESPN coming up this year than you had in 18-19.
Who'd have thunk it, right? I mean, everywhere I went, people were like just shocked. What was it like? What was it like? I mean, Alvin Gentry had to be the happiest guy on the planet Earth.
You know, Alvin Gentry is normally a happy individual, but it was amazing just to be able to watch his reaction when he got to David Griffin. Oh my God, it was, as somebody who, I mean, if you just take a step back for everything that he has been through this season, to see him be able to get that moment, it was pretty good.
Unbelievable. Zion Williamson coming to the Pels. Anthony, I'm really, really curious as to what the best offer they can get for Anthony Davis. I'm just really, really intrigued by this and which team is going to step up and all. If you had to take a guess today, we won't hold you to it.
Yeah.
Where do the Pelicans go?
Right now, I'm still going to put the betting odds on Boston, but okay. The Knicks odds and the Lakers odds just got a lot better from where they were.
Can't wait. Boy, sure makes for an interesting NBA free agency offseason, trade season, and all that kind of stuff. It's great to be relevant yet again. And David Griffin, boy, I tell you what, he is just pulling all the right strings. He won the lottery when he was in Cleveland, and now he's won it here with New Orleans. I love the guy. I absolutely love him.
I mean, if he keeps having this kind of success in the lottery, though, whoever gets the number one pick next year, or whoever wants to win the number one pick, might just put money in front of him, try to get the good luck charm
I don't think they're going to have a Zion Williamson in the draft. Those things don't come by very, very often. So good for the Pelicans, good for the fan base that deserves it, and good for all those who cover it for a living. And I hope you continue to find something to be able to do that, because you deserve it as well.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
You take care, man. Greatly. Check your text message, all right? Check it.
All right,
Andrew Lopez, kind enough to join us. Just a remarkable day of bat. Look, I don't know if the kid's going to be all world. I don't. You betting against him? Did you see what he did in college? I mean, it just was, they didn't get to the Final Four. I understand that. I know that. But this kid is ridiculous, and he makes them relevant. We'll be back to wrap up hour number one. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you are locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the app.
All right, 53 minutes after the hour, amongst all the euphoria in the Crescent City, LSU baseball got a 7-5 win over UNO. They've won two games in a row, and now they've got a big, big home series coming up against Auburn starting Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And all three games you'll listen to right here on your source for LSU sports, 103.7 The Game. LSU still holding on hope of hosting an NCAA regional. They've got to win this weekend series. They got to get a couple of wins in the SEC tournament, and that could very well happen. LSU's 32-21 now on the season. And Antoine Duplantis did it again. Who'd have thought Antoine Duplantis would have 10 home runs for the season? Wow. So pretty good. LSU will be yet without another pitcher as Trent Vetmeyer suffered a shoulder injury in Arkansas that will likely keep him out for the rest of the season. He's logged more innings out of the bullpen than any other LSU reliever. So got to get through this one, then we'll see. The good news is it's looking like LSU will get Jaden Hill and Cole Henry back in time for SEC tournament player. Neither is expected to pitch before then, but we'll see. We'll see. And how much exactly do you get out of them? Only time will tell. Zach Hess did get up and pitch late in the ball game. He gave up a two-run home run to make it 7-5. A walk brought the tying run to the plate, but Hess got a pair of strikeouts to end the game. So still nothing easy. And again, all these in-state schools, this is a big moment, and rightly so, and they take it seriously, and they get it done. But LSU had enough to get a win. So two games in a row now, and Auburn coming to town. So we shall see what transpires there. Coming up in hour number two of the program, we'll shift gears. I promise you, we'll shift gears. We'll have hot topics with my main man, Clint. Cody Worsham will join us, the digital media director for LSU. We'll talk all things LSU sports, including the NBA Combine is going on with Naz Reid and Tremont Waters. And I still think, and I know they're gone, but I still think all the others are coming back. And I do believe Will Wade is going to be the head coach. And I think this is all going to be swept away and gone. So we'll talk to Cody Worsham about that. And then Michael Huguenin will join us with an interesting perspective. I think we will discuss one coach in the SEC who made a bold move, and he hired two former Power 5 head coaches to run his offense and his defense. We'll discuss that with The Athletic's Michael Huguenin. All coming your way next. Hour number one is history. Hour number two on the way. The Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station. Come on back.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown, New Orleans!
Streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won!
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Hour number two of two, and away we go on this middle of the week hump day Wednesday, the 15th day of May. And it's going to be Saturday Night Football in Austin, LSU and Texas. Week two of the college football season, kickoff 6:30 p.m. on ABC. And, of course, you can listen to that ball game right here on 103.7 The Game. Lots to talk about. Let's get busy as we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Oh, I got a tweet from my main man, or a text, rather, from my main man, CD, last night with the news of the Pelicans getting the number one pick. How are you, my friend?
I am doing fantastic, Jordy. That was just complete and utter shock on my part, watching it all unfold live, and I was just like, oh, my God, this is actually happening. They are getting the number one pick. Define the odds. I completely forgot about this, Jordy. In 2012, guess what kind of percentage they had back then when the draft lottery was more disposed towards the teams that were openly taking?
Wasn't it even less?
No, it was exactly 6%.
6%? Wow.
So wow. I guess 6 is the magic number for the New Orleans Pelicans to be able to get the number one pick. And it just, man, I am just so excited to see what's going to happen with this franchise with potentially Zion Williamson being the number one pick.
I'm with you 100% of the way, my friend. It's going to be an exciting, exciting time in the Crescent City. Ticket sales are going through the roof, as you would anticipate, and it's just great for the city. I love it.
Was this like the craziest draft lottery you can imagine, like, that's happened this year? Because this was the first year where they changed things up, where the bottom three teams all have the same percentage chance of getting there, and then all of a sudden you have teams with the pretty much the lowest percentage chance of getting the number one pick or the top four pick. They were in there like swimwear outside the Knicks. I think it was just amazing to see like the theatrics of it all go down.
Well, the NBA got the message sent loud and clear. They are anti-tanking, and those teams that tanked didn't get what they had anticipated. So now let's play, let's win as many games as you can, and then we'll just roll the ping pong balls out and see what happens. Tanking doesn't work anymore.
Tanking doesn't work anymore, and my goodness, Jordy, it's definitely showing that with the new lottery system. Paid off in dividends, also kind of helped a lot with a lot of those kind of trades and moves or moving around of players playing huge in that sense as well. But, of course, there are some Debbie Downers, some people who are wanting to rain on the parade out in New Orleans. Yeah. And I have to say, I don't know if you've seen this or not yet, Jordy, but the fact Zion Williamson doesn't have an agent at this point in time.
I saw that.
So, hypothetically, he could take his name out of the draft. Is that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
Yes, that is ridiculous. I'm not going to mention the person who said it because I think he's an absolute clown. And let's just say his first name starts with the same first letter in the word clown.
Yeah.
But no, Zion's coming. He's going to be a Pelican, and they're going to have Drew Holiday, and David Griffin's going to put some pieces around it, and they're going to be relevant, and they're going to be good.
And this clown you're talking about, definitely, he might be eating some cow pie before too long, Jordy, with that statement he said on national television.
It's just trying to get hits, big guy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I'm saying in some cases it's working, but what else is new with the world of national media? But my goodness, some big news coming out of the world of horse racing ahead of the Preakness Stakes. Maximum Security going to sue the Kentucky Derby, wanting the result changed back to its original finish. Do you even think that's going to be a possibility, Jordy?
No possible way. No possible way. I mean, gee whiz. It's well within the rules to do what they did. It's done on every track, on every day around the country. So it's no. Gary and Mary West, you're just kind of wasting your time. You're wasting your money. But when you got that much money, you can waste it.
You really can. I'm not going to lie. You can definitely waste a lot of the money that way. And Jordy, you know, speaking of wasting money, it feels like the New York Jets are wasting away because they wound up getting rid of their general manager earlier today. And now you've got Adam Gase, the head coach of the New York Jets. His eyes are probably bulging out even more than they were in the introductory press conference.
Yes.
Now that he's the interim general manager. My goodness, Jordy. The Jets, despite the fact that New York Knicks look unstable, the Giants look to be a dumpster fire, the New York Jets show how it's really done in the Empire State.
I mean, not only do they get rid of their general manager, they get rid of their vice president of player personnel, Brian Heimerdinger.
Yep.
What's going on? I don't get it. I don't get it. So, I have no idea what the inner workings are of that organization, but it certainly sounds goofballish to me, man. I don't get it.
I got
one for you.
Go ahead.
I got one for you. Paul Maneri just came out after meeting with the media and announced a shuffled rotation for the Auburn series. So Thursday, tomorrow, Eric Walker gets the start. Friday, it'll be Landon Marceau. And Saturday is to be announced. So what happened to Mikhail Hilliard? What's going on there?
Well, I think about Jordy, he was actually going to wind up pitching a couple innings last night, but fell a little ill, according to Maneri. He mentioned that during last night's post-game show, or post-game interviews, I should say, post-game media availability, was that Mikhail Hilliard, he wound up falling a little ill. He was probably going to wind up pitching a couple innings, but then he sent him home, so might still have a little bit of that bug, but or he can wind up starting Saturday if he's 100% ready to go. If not, then you've got a lot of things you got to work out. Maybe Todd Peterson being the starter on Saturday?
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know what? I do not want to be an LSU pitcher this year because I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to get sick. Something's going to happen to me. I just don't want to be one. No, thank you.
I don't think I'd want to be one either, Jordy, considering everything else that has been going on in the past few months with this franchise. But my goodness. Last one, Jordy, more fun. LSU Texas is locked in for ABC Week 2 ball game. And, you know, the first 3 weeks aren't half bad. Oregon, Auburn, Clemson, Syracuse. Crazy things have happened in that matchup.
Yeah.
But you like the first 3 weeks of CFB on AFC, on ABC?
Absolutely. Let's go. Let's do it. That just tells me that ABC, ESPN thinks that LSU and Texas are going to be pretty good.
They will.
You don't put them in prime time unless it's going to you anticipate a really good ball game. So I'm all for it. I think that's great.
I think it's great. It is going to be awesome to see what's going on.
We'll be watching. We'll be watching. We'll be listening and watching. Absolutely.
Turn the TV down. Turn the radio up. 103.7 The Game if you want to hear LSU Tiger football all season long.
There you go. There is my main man, Clint Domain, with Hot Topics, brought to you every day by the best hot sauce that you can find anywhere, and that's Cajun Chef Hot Sauce, the Biart family in St. Martinville for nearly 90 years doing the same thing every day, putting out the best product possible because they use the best of everything, the best spices, the finest peppers, their secret remedies, their secret elixirs. You put it all in, bingo, there you have it. Do like we do, and we do. Bring a small bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with us wherever we go because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Cody Worsham talking all things LSU, including Mondo, next on the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game.
There's only one place you'll find all of the movers, the shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Helpert Show. On 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. Let's catch up on all things LSU with the guy on the inside of LSU, the digital media director, our good friend and hoop junkie, Mr. Cody Worsham. Cody, good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Doing well, Jordy. How are you?
I'm terrific. How about those Pelicans? How about Zion? Let's go watch a game. What do you think?
I have to be perfectly honest. I was definitely searching for Pelican season tickets prices this morning. Not that I could attend every game, but, you know, I think if I got some season tickets, maybe you go to, you know, a dozen games, you sell them for the rest of them, you make a nice little profit. But apparently I'm not the only one that was looking at season ticket prices because – apparently they sold a bunch of tickets last night. So that's really good. That franchise needed it. I think the state needed it. An injection of energy around basketball is something that I'm always for. So I'm really excited about it.
It doesn't get nearly as much attention as the NFL Combine, but the NBA Combine's getting ready to get underway, and Naz Reid and Tremont Waters are there. Tell me your thoughts on them, and where do you foresee them going in June? There's two rounds. Do you see them both getting picked up?
I think so. I like both of their chances. You know, I'd like to see if Naz can find his way into the first round. I think he's going to be a guy that impresses at Combines with his size and skill combo. It's pretty rare. He's still so raw. He's got so much potential, but he's still, you know, at times last year, I think people saw this. It was almost like he was still adjusting to his body. There were times where he played big and physical and dominant, and there were other times where he looked a little clumsy, and he was still being productive, but he just wasn't able to get some of the looks that he was going for. I think, you know, getting away from school and getting the chance to just focus on his game is going to be really good for him. And then Tremont's another guy. I think Tremont's going to impress just as much as in his interviews as he will in his workouts. I think he'll really impress in his workouts. I think he's a better shooter than what his numbers have showed at LSU simply because he had to take so many tough shots. So I think that'll stand out to teams. I think his athleticism will stand out. I mean, he's 5'10", but he plays above the rim. But I think he's going to really impress with his IQ and his ability to talk basketball with some of these guys. So I'd love to see him land with a franchise that would like a smart, heady point guard. You know, maybe a San Antonio would be a really interesting spot for him. I think both of them are going to be on an NBA team next year. I think both of them have a chance to get picked. I would say Naz has the better chance just because of his measurables, but I really like Tremont as his value in the second round.
Your thoughts on the others that entered into the fray, fully with the opportunity of coming back? Who are you? Are you skeptical about any of them not coming back?
You know, not that I'm operating on any information here, right. Just kind of my own opinion.
Right.
I would think that the rest of them will all be back, just from a common sense perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, none of them got invited to the combine. That really decreases your chances of getting picked. I think with Will Wade back reinstated, I think it gives them some continuity. So I would expect them to all come back, and I would expect that they all learn something from this process. You know, the way that the rules are structured now, you kind of almost have to take your chance and try to work out for some teams and get some feedback.
Sure.
There's really
yes.
no need not to. So I hopefully they'll all be back. I'm hoping they'll all be back. I have a good feeling that most of them will be back. But, you know, we'll see. There could be a guy that gets some information from a team and feels he's got a shot. But hopefully they'll all be back and form the core of a really good team next year.
Yeah, I don't know what their situations are. I don't know what their feelings about going to class are. Maybe there's one that says, like, I'll play in the G League. I don't want to go to school anymore. We'll have to wait and see. Cody Worsham, kind enough to join us. Boy, track and field gets an SEC championship. That's, I think, the fourth SEC title that LSU sports teams have brought back so far this season. The impact of Armando Duplantis, he just seems to be, and we've talked about it before, but for a kid so highly recognized worldwide, boy, he seems to be grounded and level-headed and a great teammate. It's a very rare commodity, it seems to me.
Yeah, Mondo's a really laid-back guy. I don't think people understand the magnitude of the kind of athlete he is. So I'm working on a story for this in the next couple of weeks. His icon, his idol in pole vaulting is a French guy whose name I'm not going to try to pronounce, but his first name is Reynald.
Uh-huh.
And this guy is the richest athlete in the world. If you Google his name, this year Forbes named him the richest athlete in the world. He's got a net worth of, or last year, he had over $50 million in earnings last year. He had a net worth of you know, nine figures. And Mondo is basically just as good of a pole vaulter as this guy right now.
Yeah.
Like, the jump that he had to set the collegiate record, I think, would have gotten the silver medal at the 2016 Olympics. He may be the best in the world at his sport right now. But when you talk to him, he doesn't seem like that at all. He just seems like a, you know, a a talented, typical freshman. He's very humble. He enjoys the sport. He has fun with it. But he's spectacular. And, you know, I was talking with Antoine Duplantis the other day about him. And you know, I don't know much about pole vaulting, but I said, what's like the peak for a pole vaulter? Is it one of those things like gymnastics where you peak younger when you're a little bit lighter and more flexible? Or, you know, as you get older and stronger, do you get better? He's like, oh, you peak at like 28 or 29. Like, wow. What Mondo's doing right now is just a shadow
tip of the iceberg.
To come.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Hey.
It's unbelievable what his future could be.
My mom said there's no such thing as a stupid question, so I'll ask it anyway. I know basketball, you have to play 1 year before you can go to the and play professionally. Baseball, 3 years. Football, 3 years. Is there a rule for track and field? Can he just leave now, right after this year, and go get the fame and fortune that is coming his way?
I'm pretty sure he could. I'm pretty sure he could walk off the track tomorrow and go sign a very high value shoe deal and get some endorsements and be just fine. I mean, and the guy that I was mentioning earlier, the French pole vaulter, who's the world record holder, he's got unbelievable endorsement deals. I mean, I'm sure Mondo could literally walk into Europe tomorrow and be very, very wealthy with whatever deal he signed. So the fact that he, you know, I don't think he even had to come to LSU. He could have foregone this entire college experience and just taken that money and kept doing what he was doing, but he wanted to be here. He wanted to be a part of LSU. He wanted to experience college. He wanted to grow up a little bit. So I don't know what his future holds as far as you know, how much longer he's going to be in school. Maybe he wants to graduate. I don't know. It's a question I need to probably sit down and ask him before I finish this story. But he's an unbelievable athlete and just a really good guy and a cool guy.
Yeah, I've met him, talked to him. He really is down to earth, something else. Kind of puts a little added emphasis on the significance of LSU Texas in football. Saturday night football in Austin, LSU Texas, 6:30 p.m. on ABC, week two of the college football season. Hello.
Yeah, it didn't get any bigger than that. I mean, it's going to be an awesome game. It's an awesome time slot. You know, fans have clamored for less of these neutral site games and more home and homes. This is the first taste of that. I know LSU fans probably won't be thrilled with the ticket allotment. I don't know where it is right now, but I had heard previously that LSU fans weren't getting many. So the converse of that is you're going to get a great TV slot. If you are able to get out to Austin, it's obviously a great town and a cool place to hang out. And then you get Texas coming back. This can be a big game. I mean, Texas has high expectations. LSU obviously brings back a ton and has very high expectations as well. They'll get a little tune-up in the opener. And then be ready for that Texas game, which it's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you've been on the outside. Now you're on the inside. You see how the inner workings are. Boy, it's a whole different storyline this year as compared to a year ago at this time when we didn't know what Joe Burrow was going to be like. We looked at that unbelievably tough schedule and didn't know if Ed Orgeron could handle it. Well, obviously, we know what Burrow can do. Obviously, they handled that schedule. And obviously, Ed Orgeron has come out smelling like a rose with 10 wins. It's a whole different vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, last year there was a lot of question marks about the offense, but you felt pretty good about the defense. This year, I think you've got to feel as good about an offense with LSU as you have since 2013. And I'm not going to say this one will be better, but it might be up to that standard. It might be different and more dangerous in different ways. So I think Burrow is going to have a really good year. I think he's, you know, he did all that last year with really just a few weeks of preparation in the summer and then official practices in August. So with a whole year and change under his belt, I think he'll be in really good shape. And I think the defense is still going to be really good. I know you lose Devin White and Greedy Williams, but you bring back a ton of talent at every level. Grant Delpit's a superstar. I think Derek Stingley has the makings of a superstar at corner. Christian Fulton was arguably better than Greedy Williams last year when you look at the raw numbers. So there's a lot to like about this team. The schedule is tough in its own way this year, but I think they're poised for another good year. And we'll see if they can take that next step, which is what they're looking for. But I think they got the opportunity to do it with the talent they've got.
I'm with you. One last question. Okay, channel your best Anthony Davis. Does he reconsider, come back to New Orleans, or is he hell-bent on a trade and the Pelicans get the best they can for him? What do you think?
I would think that he probably still wants to go. I feel like he burned just about every bridge that he could last year. But, you know, if I'm David Griffin and I'm the Pelicans, you don't have to trade him until February.
Right.
If you get a great deal now, go ahead and take it. You know, you don't have to make that deal until February. You could try it for a few weeks and do a Kawhi Leonard or a Paul George and see if, you know, all of a sudden if the Pelicans are a one or two seed in the West, which is, you know, that's asking a lot. But, you know, you never know what happens in December or January. You know, maybe he reconsiders. Maybe you can get him to sign an extension. Maybe he loves playing with Zion. You never know. So I think the Pelicans have been smart about playing it slow with AD. And now that, you know, you've got maybe two of the best assets, if not the two best assets in the NBA, and Zion Williamson and Anthony Davis, it gives you a lot of flexibility.
Sure does.
You can pretty much do whatever you want to. So David Griffin, very talented executive, but he's got a full deck of cards at this point, and I'm excited to see what he does with them.
Can't wait. Cody, thank you, buddy. Great talking with you. Have a good rest of your week, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, Jordy, thank you.
All right, buddy, take care. Cody Worship, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Michael Huguenin, we'll talk college football, college basketball, even some Pelicans. Why not? Zion, come on. I mean, seriously. This is the Jordy Helpert Show.
Taking the hottest topics and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helpert Show on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's time to break down the biggest storylines this week with Michael Huguenin of The Athletic. What's up, Michael?
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day!
Yes, indeed. It is hump day, and that's time for Michael Huguenin, who's kind enough to join us. He does all things college football, college basketball. He's just a wealth of knowledge. So, Michael, good afternoon. But I guess we got to start off with the biggest topic down in this part of the world. It has nothing to do with college football or college basketball. Well, it kind of does, but the New Orleans Pelicans get the number one pick in the draft thanks to a 6% chance to win the lottery. They did. If you were a fan of the Pelicans, would you be excited right now?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Zion Williamson's coming to town, and who knows? Maybe this means Anthony Davis decides to stay because Zion Williamson and Anthony Davis together is a formidable duo, and you surround them with some interesting role players, as this general manager did in Cleveland, and you got an interesting team. Who knows what's going to happen with the Warriors? Who knows what's going to happen with the Thunder? Houston, I don't know what their ceiling truly is. Portland looks like a team that's built to stay around for a while. Denver's an interesting team, but if I'm a New Orleans Pelicans fan right now, I'm exceedingly happy with the way things went in the lottery.
You have I've said this, there hasn't been this much excitement in the Crescent Cities since Pistol Pete came over and joined the New Orleans Jazz way back when. But you follow college basketball. Your thoughts of Zion, where, you know, he's one of those one-of-a-kind players.
Yeah, he is. And when he was in high school, the AAU circuit, all the dunking videos, and people were like, well, look at the competition level. He plays at a small-level high school in South Carolina. He's physically gifted, yes, but once he comes up against players that with equal talent, he's going to just be a guy for a year and then have to grow into college basketball. Obviously, that was incorrect. Can he get better? Of course. He can become vastly more well-rounded. He's 19 years old, and, you know, he hasn't peaked. And if that's the thing, I don't care which team I was a fan of. If Zion was the guy there at number one, you have to sort of dream and just say, what's this guy going to be like in 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
It sure is going to be fun to watch him grow as a basketball player.
Yeah,
and he's individually, the skill set is tremendous for a man that big. He's going to get stronger and learn to use his bulk better. He's extremely athletic. He can become a better shot maker from the outside. But a guy that big, that quick, those guys do not come around very often at all.
I'm with you. Michael Huguenin of The Athletic, kind enough to join us. Switching over to college football, it's been announced now that the LSU-Texas game will be a primetime 6:30 kickoff on ABC. That explains a lot to me. That even amps up the significance of this game for both of those teams, doesn't it?
Yeah, national TV there earlier in the year. You're put on national TV at night for a reason. You're generally involved in one of the best games of the day. And that's one of the better games in the entire non-conference part of the schedule for anybody nationally. So, yeah, I think there's going to be what's the ceiling for both these teams? Obviously, you're not going to know at that point in September, but I think that game will give folks an idea of how good Texas can be, how good LSU can be. Yeah, you're right. I mean, again, it's the primetime spotlight's going to be on, and that's a big deal.
Michael Huguenin, The Athletic. One of these teams that LSU plays in the SEC West is the Ole Miss Rebels, and they are going about a whole new approach in the way they do things. Matt Luke, of course, the head coach, has hired two former head coaches as his coordinators, Mike McIntyre on the defensive side, Rich Rodriguez on the offensive side. I'm very curious as to how this all will work, and does this tell me that Matt Luke is just, man, he's willing to do anything to save his,
yeah,
to keep a job?
Yeah, and I think if you're Matt Luke, you're hiring two coaches. One is vastly better known than you, Rich Rodriguez, and both have had more success than you have. So I think that is an indication that Matt Luke realizes, I don't know everything. I'm going to go out and get better coaches than what I had last year. And I think I'm confident in saying Ole Miss will not be as talented as they were in 2018, but they will be better coached. And that might be enough to get them into a bowl game. I don't know how good Matt Corral is going to be. I don't know how good the offensive line is going to be. The defense has vast room for improvement. But McIntyre is a good defensive coach. And Rich Rodriguez is a great offensive mind. So, is Ole Miss going to come out of the chute in game one fully formed? Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I think if you watched Ole Miss last year, you saw the individual talent and went, they got some interesting parts there. And then you watched them play, and you're like, well, these parts don't necessarily match.
Uh-huh.
And I think part of that is they were not well coached, especially on defense. I think Wesley McGriff is a high-level position coach, but not a high-level defensive coordinator. So McIntyre is a positive step in that regard. Same with Rich Rod. So, again, they're not going to be as talented as they were last year, but I think they're going to be a better team. And if they go, I think they can go 6-6, which gets them into a bowl game, which would be a positive step for Ole Miss and for Matt Luke.
Michael Huguenin, The Athletic. In your part of the world, when I associate the Orange Bowl in my mind, it's always a nighttime game. It was originally scheduled to kick off earlier this year on January 1st when it became part of the 6-bowl rotation that hosts the college football playoff. So the Orange Bowl won't be hosting a national semifinal this season. So they switched, I think, a good move, right, to December the 30th with a primetime kickoff.
Yeah, that's the important thing for the Orange Bowl. They want to be in primetime. I will argue that, okay, because you're going to be in primetime, I also think you're going to be lacking in significant some this year because you're not on New Year's Day. And I think college football, the bowl officials want to have their cake and eat it too. We want to be part of the New Year's Six. We want to be part of the playoff system. But we also want A, B, C, D, and E. And if we can't get A, B, C, D, and E, well, we're just going to do what we want anyway. So, the Rose Bowl always wants to be a 5 o'clock Eastern time kickoff. The Sugar Bowl always wants to be a nighttime kickoff. The Orange Bowl always wants to be a nighttime kickoff. Well, sometimes when you get what you want, yeah, again, this goes back to I think the Orange Bowl will – yes, it's going to be a game that matches two high-level teams, but I think it loses something not being on January 1st.
Okay. What's going on at the University of Florida? Boy, they seemed like Dan Mullen had things going on a roll, and all of a sudden – some off-the-field incidents, and now players are vacating. One of their cornerbacks is heading to Oregon, and they're losing players. What's happening in Florida?
Yeah, Chris Steele's transfer. He is an extremely high-level corner. Enrolled early, went through spring ball, was quite impressive to the point where they moved one of last year's starting corners, Trey Dean, to nickelback. They thought that highly of Chris Steele. Then Chris Steele announces he's transferring. He's going to Oregon, which means Oregon now has the best incoming freshman duo of corners in the country, mm-hmm. Michael Wright and him. They were the two of the top five corners in the country, both L.A. kids, both now at Oregon, and both are going to play a lot this fall. Florida had the freshman quarterback Jalen Jones enroll early. He is already in the transfer portal as well. He was accused of two sexual assaults, so he wasn't charged, but I think Florida, frankly, is happy that he's leaving. Chris Steele, one story said that the reason Chris Steele is leaving has to do with he asked to be he was rooming with Jalen Jones and asked to be taken out of that room. That was a story that was by the Gainesville Sun last week. Florida AD Scott Strickland told The Athletic yesterday, though, that that is not necessarily what he has been told is going mm-hmm. on. So I think there's more to come out of the Chris Steele situation. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, here's a team that closed the season exceedingly strong, crushed Florida State in the regular season finale, crushed Michigan in the bowl game, finished the season in the top 10, had a lot of momentum. Now, though, they have lost some of that momentum. So it will be interesting to see if there's any more bad news that happens right over the summer, because you and I have talked for years about if your team is in the news in May, June, or July, that is not a good thing.
Yeah. Is Oregon going to get back to Oregon the way it was? It seems like there's a shift in momentum for them ever since the Chip Kelly days.
Yeah. Chip Kelly obviously did a phenomenal job there. Mark Helfrich kept it going for 2 years, and then they sort of all of a sudden went off the cliff.
Yeah.
Now, Mario Cristobal is there. Cristobal, as everybody knows from his time in Alabama and even his time at FIU as the head coach, the guy is a phenomenal recruiter and places a huge emphasis on getting the players in. He's a guy who went to the University of Miami, started on a national title team, and was surrounded by a ton of great players who, like him, were from South Florida. So uh-huh. He did a great job recruiting in FIU as the head coach. He got players that were, frankly, too good to go to FIU. Then he went to Alabama as the offensive line coach, did a phenomenal job recruiting there. And now his first full go-around as Oregon's coach, the best class on paper in Oregon history, a national top 10 class. They signed 7 of the top 21 players in the state of California.
Wow.
They blew away USC. They blew away UCLA. And the one thing, Cristobal is not a Chip Kelly kind of offense guy. Cristobal, as a former offensive lineman, is more of the Saban tree.
Right.
We're going to bludgeon you into submission. but he recruits at a high level. And if you look at Oregon's offensive line this year, 4 senior starters, 4 juniors are back as starters. The other starters back was a freshman All-American, Penang Sewell, a kid who was a top 50 prospect, could be the best offensive line in the nation. They are extremely well-coached technique-wise, and these are monster dudes. The one question about Oregon, how good are their linebackers going to be, and is how good is their receiving core? And as LSU fans know, you can be good everywhere on the field, but if your receivers aren't good, other teams load up and stop the run and make it difficult on your offensive line. Now, Oregon does have an extremely talented quarterback in Justin Herbert, but their receiving core is a gigantic question mark to the point that Penn State grad transfer Juwan Johnson might be the go-to receiver this fall. Penn State did not care that he left. So it's the receiving corps at Oregon. Right. They have to have freshmen come through. They got a kid from Nashville. They got a kid from IMG. They got a kid from L.A. These freshmen have to produce for Oregon to be as good as they can be. Now, Oregon can win the Pac-12, and if they beat Auburn in week one, I think they stand themselves as, hey, we're going to be a top 10 team. But yeah. I don't know if they're not as well coached as Washington. They are more talented than Washington, I think.
It seems like Cristobal is doing to the Pac-12 what Urban Meyer did to the Big Ten. He's bringing an SEC philosophy with him.
Yes, recruiting-wise, right. I think Cristobal, you know, Meyer's always said, you know, X's and O's are very important. But to make those X's and O's truly work, you got to have the dudes that can make plays. And Oregon realizes that. He has really totally reconstructed the way Oregon recruits in about 18 months. Mm-hmm. Much bigger priority on fast dudes and a big priority on linemen on both sides of the ball. I think Oregon is going to be a perennial power. They've taken advantage of USC's down year last year. Mm-hmm. But as long as Cristobal is there, they're going to recruit well.
Michael Huguenin, The Athletic. Last thing, the NCAA is forming a working group to consider how its rules can be modified to allow college athletes to be compensated for use of their names, images, and likenesses. Break it down.
That elicits a big yawn from me.
Yes.
You and I have talked about the NCAA for a decade as well. These guys are so far behind the times. Why in 2019 are you just, you know, this has been a hot topic for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, geez, I guess we should form a working group. And plus, I don't know. It's aggravating.
I think
it tries hard, but just it doesn't know what it's doing.
I get the image of, hey, you know what? We got to show that we're worthy of our existence. Let's just now form a committee so it looks like we're doing something.
Right. But the people have worked in at places, you know, it's big corporations that are extremely slow moving and, you know, hey, look, we should do this, this, and this. Hey, great idea. Let's form a committee and look into this stuff. Oh, my goodness. But again, this committee is so – this should have happened 5 or 6 or even 7 years ago. And plus, we didn't even talk about, you know, the basketball. Is anything going to happen in NCAA basketball?
Right.
The organization moves at a glacial pace.
Do you think anything's going to happen?
Not for basketball. I think maybe 2 years from now, the NCAA will be doing something in terms of giving players payments for likenesses and images and all that kind of stuff. But again, that should have been in place, frankly, 2 or 3 years ago, because this committee should have been formed 6 or 7 years ago.
So you're telling LSU basketball fans, don't worry, Will Wade will be your coach.
I think so.
Yeah.
Sean Miller ain't going anywhere.
Isn't that amazing?
Bruce Pearl got a contract extension. Bill Self seems to be Teflon.
Yeah.
Were
you surprised of John Beilein going to the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yes. This is going to sound weird coming from a guy who's in his mid-50s, but I'm thinking, John Beilein, you're 66 years old. What are you doing? But I guess he figures, you know,
he's done everything else.
That's exactly right. He started his coaching career as a JV high school coach.
How about that?
So he literally has done every job now. The guy is a really good tactician, and I would have liked to see what he would have done with Zion Williamson had the Cavaliers gotten the number one pick. The problem, obviously, with Cleveland, they are not very good. And even if Beilein does a great job, that's not a playoff team, unless they have a gigantic influx of talent. But I give Beilein credit. He wants to try something different. He is a really high-level coach. The intricacies of basketball are not lost on him. It's a gigantic loss for the University of Michigan. What are they going to do?
Wow, I'd sure make Jay Wright say no to me.
And supposedly they're going to call Billy Donovan. He wants he's only got 1 year left on his Oklahoma City contract.
I'd make him tell me no.
And the Thunder don't seem to be in any position to give him an extension. So I got to think he sees the writing on the wall. Maybe he goes to Michigan, but he's a lot different kind of coach than Beilein.
No question. Michael Hugenin, we covered it all, as always. We never talk about this stuff beforehand, but it always seems to work out for all these years. How is that?
Yes, it does. It's because it's fun. It's fun. There's a lot of stuff going on. And there's always a lot of stuff going on with college sports. I mean, we even NCAA softball starts this week.
Yep.
SEC baseball tournament next week. So there's
stuff.
And we're a nuclear winter, unfortunately, for college football. So.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good weekend, buddy.
All right, man. Thanks.
Michael Hugenin of The Athletic. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap it all up. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. Wednesday edition. Hump Day. We'll be right back. Zion! Welcome back. Finishing touches still flying high with the number one pick by the Pels, man. It just makes things so great. I mean, everything's turning up positive. It's just a great, great feeling for a city and a franchise that deserves it. Yeah, I've got my blinders on. There's no question, but they deserve it. All right, history lesson time on this day, May 15th, the year 1973. It was on this day that Nolan Ryan tossed his first no-hitter, overpowering the Kansas City Royals, striking out 12 batters. It was just the beginning, as he would end up having 7 career no-hitters. 7. Nolan Ryan on this day, May 15th, the year 1973. If today is your birthday, May the 15th, well, happy birthday from all of us here at 103.7 The Game and everything under the umbrella of Delta Media. Hope you have a lot of cake and ice cream and even a present or two. You share with the likes of some former, some greats in their field. Happy 32nd birthday to Andy Murray. Waited, was Britain's greatest hope to win Wimbledon, and certainly he did. Happy 44th birthday to the heart and soul of the Baltimore Ravens, Ray Lewis, back in the day. And happy 48th birthday to the former Florida Gator, how about them Cowboys? The running back extraordinaire, Emmitt Smith, celebrating a birthday today. I know we were very heavy today on the Pelicans and the thoughts thereof. And who knows what's going to happen with Anthony Davis. We don't know exactly how big of an impact, how quickly it's going to be with Zion Williamson. But he makes the franchise, who was dormant, makes them relevant. He's going to sell tickets both at home and on the road. And I can't wait to see him in the Pelicans uniform. So thanks to Scott Kushner of The Advocate, Andrew Lopez for coming on board, Cody Worsham of LSU, and Michael Hugenin of The Athletic. It sure was a lot of fun. I got to take tomorrow off. It's my daughter's graduation from the 8th grade. Big, big day. Lots of stuff going on. So we'll have a fill-in, but I'll be back on Friday. And, of course, Clint will be here all the time because he's the best. So thanks so much for listening. Thanks to our partners for making it possible each and every day. We have only one Wednesday, May 15th. Man, have a great day. See you Thursday, but come on back tomorrow. Same time, same station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.